Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I am glad to be with you again this morning. Let me tell you a little bit about last week. If you listened to Friday's show, you noticed it was a replay from the week before. Reason for that is a group of us left town and went to Ohio for Americans for Prosperity's Defending the American Dream Summit. We took a bus up and took a bus back, so the trip itself was very trying, but the event was a very enjoyable event. Speaking at the event were a number of proclaimed conservatives, beginning with Governor Jeb Bush, Governor Bobby Jindal, Representative Jim Jordan, Senator David Perdue, State Representative Jose Oliva, John Taffer, he's the host of Spike TV's Bar Rescue. There was Senator Ted Cruz, Governor Rick Perry, Senator Rob Portman, Senator Marco Rubio, and as I said, all proposed to be conservatives, and all speaking, of course, about their campaigns. Kudos to Americans for Prosperity for a well-planned and orchestrated event. They did an outstanding job, the logistics and everything. There were over 3,600 in attendance, and it was very orderly, although there were some demonstrations outside by local unions. Everything went smoothly, and there were no incidents. But we did learn something while we were there, because we got to actually listen to the candidates one-on-one there, so to speak. And on the way up on the bus, they took a straw poll. In that straw poll, the winner was overwhelmingly Donald Trump. On the trip back, they took another straw poll, and the winner that time overwhelmingly was Ted Cruz. So obviously, going and listening to the candidates in person did change hearts and minds and did have an effect on people's opinions. So just wanted to point that out. Reminder that CCTA is nonpartisan, so nothing I say is an endorsement for any candidate, only talking about the process. And this is part of the process as we go through the campaign and election cycles. Out on the campaign trail, there will be a lot of opportunities to find out more about the true character of the candidates. And that's one thing I want to point out this morning, is the importance of looking at the character of the candidate. You know, many of these people have been in the public eye for a long time, and they have records, both politically and professionally. They have exposed their character in many different ways. That is the best judge of the candidate, and not the rhetoric that or the speeches that they give at events like this. What do they do versus what do they say? That's what I think every American needs to be looking at during this campaign cycle and making their decision is what they're going to do when they go to the polls, because it's the character of the person that goes into office. It's going to determine how they govern. We've been let down too many times. Here in North Carolina, we've got a super majority. But what are they doing for us? And I say we have a super majority. I'm speaking from a conservative point of view. A lot of conservative Republicans, or so-called conservative Republicans, were elected and put into office, and they have a super majority. All the things that are dear to the heart of conservatives that have been part of legislation should have had no problem going through and being passed. But look where we're at today. A lot of it got partially through. By the time it was changed, the bills didn't even look like the original bills. And a lot of the stuff that we wanted to see happen has not happened at all. So, again, the character of the person, not what the person says, not what they have in their TV ads or radio spots, but look at their record. Look at their actions. Look at what they've actually accomplished, because this political machine is just that. It's a big machine. And you need to be wary of some of these candidates and what their intents are, because no matter what they say, they're not there for your best interest. They're there for their own best interest and to support the machine that took them there. So I caution you to be careful. Don't believe everything you hear on TV or see in the newspaper, because, again, the media is part of that machine. And now, in 2015, most of you have access to the internet, and you can go out and do your own research and determine what is the character of this person that I'm considering voting for. Let's look at his record. Let's look at the historical facts, or hers. Let's look at the historical facts and see if they've been consistent. Have they been wishy-washy? If they changed back and forth? Tell me something about the character. Look at them by the fruit that they bear. Then start making your decisions. Well, like I said, it was an enjoyable trip. We learned a lot there. There were breakout sessions for activism training and a lot of good information there during those sessions. So we enjoyed it. And again, thanks to Americans for Prosperity for doing that. While on that trip, I met a young man from Denmark. And he's an author of a book. It's called Manipulism. And you can go to Manipulism. That's MANIPULISM.com. And his book is free. You can buy it if you want to by going to Amazon, or you can go to manipulism.com, download the ebook for free, or the audiobook, either one, whichever you prefer. This young man, his name is Mikael Nissen. And as I said, he's from Denmark, and he's touring the U.S. now because he's concerned about the danger of collectivism and socialism here in the United States. And you know, we have a confirmed, acknowledged, proud to be socialist running on the Democratic ticket. He makes no bones about it. And he's doing quite well. He's leading, I believe, in those polls. A socialist. And Mikael, in his book, tells you about his experience with socialism in Denmark. Even though Oprah Winfrey traveled there and came back and said they're the happiest people in the world, Mikael has a different opinion and exposes that in his book. I had lengthy discussions with him, and we're looking at trying to schedule him on his tour to come through New Bern and speak at one of our meetings, and we'll have more on that later for you. If we can work that out, that would be great. But here's a man that has lived through that, is a part of that society, admits to having been a socialist in the past until his eyes were open and he woke up to what was going on. He's left his family and come here to the United States to share that information with us. So we're looking forward to hopefully being able to bring Mikael here and speak to you on one of our upcoming meetings. Let's take a short break right here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. You know, when you look at what's happened to this country and how we got to where we're at today, you have to look at the foundation. You know, if in your home you had a drainage problem that was constantly eroding the foundation of your home, what would eventually happen? That foundation would be washed away and your home would collapse. And that's what's happening to this country right now. And the foundation I'm speaking about is the moral foundation. You see, this country was founded on a set of principles and it's the 28 principles of liberty, which are the laws of nature, God's law, and the Judeo-Christian founders that founded this country used those principles to design our founding documents, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and so forth. And right here in North Carolina, let me read you the preamble to the North Carolina Constitution. We the people of the state of North Carolina, grateful to Almighty God and the sovereign ruler of nations for the preservation of the American Union and the existence of our civil, political, and religious liberties, and acknowledging our dependence upon Him for the continuance of those blessings to us and our prosperity, do for the more certain security thereof and for the better government of this state ordain and establish this Constitution. Now, that's the Constitution of this great state of North Carolina. That's the preamble to it. Now, between the time that document was written and today, an erosion has taken place. An erosion of the foundation, that foundation where it says we are grateful to Almighty God, the sovereign ruler of nations. That's what this state and this country were founded on. But we've allowed evil to come in and erode that foundation and totally remove it in some instances. And that takes me back to examining the character of people that you are going to vote for and send to office to represent you. Do they have a foundation based on this? What is their moral character? Where is their foundation? Where does it come from? That's what you need to examine. In order to rebuild this state and this country, you're going to have to get back to the moral character and foundation that it was originally founded upon. There's so many things, so many problems. Let's take the marriage issue, for instance. Here in North Carolina, it was ridiculous that we had to even have it on the ballot to make a constitutional amendment to support or uphold marriage between a man and a woman. But we did, and overwhelmingly, voters in North Carolina went to the polls and passed the marriage amendment, upholding the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. And then what did we allow to happen? We allowed one federal judge to come in here and totally overturn it. Where was the outcry? What about those elected officials that we sent up there? What did they do? Did they allow it? You know, we are a sovereign state. The federal judge doesn't have the authority, constitutionally or otherwise, to do what he did. But we allowed it to happen. And that's just one instance. Let me read to you Section 1 from Article 1 of the Constitution also. It says, we hold it to be self-evident that all persons are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, the enjoyment of the fruits of their own labor, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, folks, I got to tell you, there's a lot of people that's worked their whole life and done all they could to prepare for retirement and for old age. And now they find themselves in a position where they cannot enjoy the fruits of their labor because it's being stripped away from them and given to somebody else. It's just ridiculous that this is happening, but we're allowing it to happen. Did you know that the means-tested welfare is likely to equal or exceed $10.3 trillion over the next decade here in this country? $10.3 trillion. Where does that money come from? Comes out of the pockets of people who have worked hard all their life, paid their taxes, and it's going to people who haven't contributed to the system one dime. And it's an orchestrated thing. It was orchestrated by those that had a different agenda for our society, and it wasn't based on the principles that our Constitution and Declaration of Independence was based on. It was based on their own selfish agendas and socialism, redistribution of wealth. You know, they all try to make it sound like they're doing a good thing, helping out people, but they've created a system whereby they've created dependency and encouraged people not to be self-dependent and to go out and earn their way and to help contribute to society, but yet to leech off of society and get everything they can for free. There are so many instances of welfare fraud and abuse of entitlement programs that the government is totally aware of, but is powerless to do anything about. So what do? They just keep pouring more and more and more of your money into these entitlement programs. Now, what's one of the problems there? Well, one of the problems is what they did to marriage. You know, you talk about children in poverty, and child poverty is a concern here, and it's an ongoing concern. But do you realize that one of the biggest contributors to child poverty is the absence of a father in the home? Marriage is America's greatest weapon against child poverty. Did you know that marriage drops the probability of a child poverty by 82%? 82%. But you see, the government set up a program whereby they offered these enticements not to have a father in the home. If you are a single mother, we'll pay you not to have a father in that home. And that's been going on for over 50 years now. And it's been growing and growing and growing. It's unsustainable. We can't continue to do that. It violates our Constitution. And I've just read it to you where we should be able to enjoy the fruits of our own labor. And that's part of the problem here in this country. And how do we get there? We put the wrong people in office. Folks, you're listening to the wrong people. You're trusting the wrong people. You're not examining their character. You're listening to their rhetoric, but you're not examining the character. And that's where you're going to have to change your habits as a voter. You're going to have to start looking at the character of these people, because I'm going to tell you, like I said, last week we went to Ohio, we sat there, we listened to all these candidates give their campaign speeches, and boy, they're smooth, they're flashy, they say all the right things. But what about their record? Most of them have a record. You can look it up online. You can go verify what they say they are going to do against what they have done. And you need to do that. You don't need to let somebody else tell you. You don't need to listen to me or anybody else say, hey, this is the guy you want to vote for. You need to go and find out for yourself. You need to be interested enough, because it's the future of your country. It's the welfare and future of your children and your grandchildren. And you are the one that is complicit in allowing the things happening to happen. If you go to the polls blindly and vote for somebody that's got a big mouth and says the right things, you're going to get what you already got. It might be a different party, but it's going to be fundamentally the same thing you've already got, and it's going to be your doing that did it. All right, let's take another break so I can quit rambling. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we were talking about the father in the family, and let me give you some examples here from some charts here. The source is the U.S. Bureau of Census and the National Center for Health Statistics. And this particular chart is on the death of marriage in the U.S., 1929 to 2008. And in 1929, it was the upper 90 percentile of children born to married mothers. In 2008, that had plummeted to 59.4%. Well, you don't need me to tell you, you can also look at the charts on crime statistics, on poverty, and all these blights that are affecting our country today, and they all coincide with the decline of married mothers and having a father in the home. And let me point out, this is not a teen pregnancy issue. Out-of-wedlock childbearing is not the same as teen pregnancy. You see, out-of-wedlock births are often confused with teen pregnancy and births, but in fact, few out-of-wedlock births occur to teenagers. Of all the out-of-wedlock births in the United States in 2008, only 7.7% occurred to girls under the age of 18. Three-quarters occurred to young adult women between the ages of 19 and 29. It's the decline in marriage and growth. It's not a teenage issue. It's the result of a breakdown in relationships between young adult men and women. It's a moral decline. And again, you can look at other charts and you can see the interaction between the increase and the bad. and decrease in the good when these things occur. Well, it wasn't my intention to ramble on these issues today. What I basically wanted to do was try to stress to you the importance of your role as a voter and in making sure that you seek out the facts and the records of these people that you're going to be voting for. Know their character. Know their character from the fruits that they bear, from the works that they've done, not from what they've said, but what they've done. Check their records. Check them independently and do it yourself. Don't rely on somebody else to tell you what they've done. You know, it's time. We've got to stand up. We've got to do everything we can to protect women and unborn children by limiting late-term abortions, to restore marriage to the institution God intended it to be. We've got to be the ones to stand up and do that. And we've got to do it by selecting principled people to send to office that will do what we ask them to do and do what they promise they will do when they get there. We have a supermajority here in North Carolina and still can't get the things done we want done. Now, what are we going to do to change that? The only thing you can do is be more prudent about who you're voting for. Make sure that you know your vote is going to count and count for keeping the foundation intact, rebuilding the foundation, and returning this state and this country back to the greatness that it once enjoyed. And the only way you're going to do that is to attack these moral issues. You know, health care, welfare, all these entitlements, you've got to cut them out. You've got to reduce them. You're just killing our country. So those are issues that we, as voters, need to pay attention to and find people that are really going to step up to the plate and do the right thing when they get in office. But now let me step on your toes, because before you can examine the character of these other people, you're going to have to examine your own. What do you stand for? What shape is your foundation in? You need to look internally before you start looking externally. You know, you can't blame it all on somebody else. You've got to take accountability for what you are doing. Let me caution you about one other thing. It's time for you to quit putting party above principles, okay? George Washington, very wise man, said, "However, political parties may now and then answer popular ends. They are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion." George was wise enough to see what the two-party system would do. You need to wise up to. All right, well, that's it for today. I appreciate you joining us here for Wake Up Call. Look forward to seeing you again next week here on 94.1 for Wake Up Call.